Plaintiffs would like to call their next witness, Claire Vlasis. Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you please state your name?
Claire Vlasis.
Your Honor, before I begin, we will be referring to two exhibits. Those are plaintiff's exhibits P106 and P107.
Thank you.
How old are you, Claire?
I'm 20 years old.
And how old were you when this lawsuit was filed?
I was 17.
Where are you from?
I'm from Bozeman, Montana.
Where is this photo taken?
This photo is taken about a 10 or 15 minute drive up Highlight Canyon, one of my favorite places to go in Bozeman.
Do you live with your family?
I do. I live with my mom, dad, younger sister, and we have two dogs.
Are you going to college right now?
I am. I'm going to Claremont McKenna College, studying computer science and ethics.
How did you get interested in those degrees?
Well, when I first went to college, I really wanted to be a politics major. I had done some legislation stuff and learned a lot about our government through school, and it was super interesting to me. But as I started studying it, I realized it wasn't really the right thing for me. I think, I believe that it wasn't actually the best way I could really make a difference, knowing that so much of politics revolves around prestige, clout, and money. And so I was registering for classes my second semester of freshman year, and I totally messed up how to use the online registration portal. I didn't grow up with a ton of technology, and so I just didn't know how to use it. And at the exact time that I was doing it, I clicked to sign up for this one class, and I got to be in a computer science class accidentally. A few hundred people apply for this class, and there's only about 30 or 40 spots. And I was the first one to do it just because of the pure chance of luck that I was messing around. And I decided to take the class because so few people get to do it, and I just loved it. I was really good at coding, and I truly believe that through technology, I actually could make a difference, much more than politics.
Do you have any ideas about what you'd like to do with your degrees in computer science and ethics?
Yeah, I do. Well, since I grew up in an area that isn't well served by technology right now, and know a lot of places in Montana that are underserved when it comes to technology, I want to dedicate my life to going to more rural communities, especially in Montana, and introducing the ideas of technology that can actually really help people. And I know a lot of people are hesitant to do things that involve big change. It can be really scary to try something new, but the way I've grown up and coming from a rural place myself, I believe there's a way to introduce new ideas to people and make changes in people's lives for the better in a way that works for them.
Do you have any thoughts about the difference between computers and human beings?
Yeah, I see a lot of similarities between the way that computers work and the way people work. And that's especially why I'm interested in the ethics part of my major. And I think when we think about the fundamentals of human choices, it's just like a computer. So the way that computers really work at the baseline is they're presented different choices. Either you do this or you do this. And I think people are like that too. When we think about things, it boils down to these simple choices of what we do in this very moment. And so I like to think about what I do every day as a choice that can alter what happens for me later in life forever. Same with the computer. And it's all just a direct pathway that leads you to a certain thing based on the choices that you make.
You've been away at school for a couple years. Do you still consider Bozeman your home, Claire?
Of course, forever.
Have you ever testified in court before?
Not in court, no.
Did you go to school in Bozeman?
I did. I went to Longfellow Elementary School, Sacagawea Middle School, and Bozeman High School.
And what types of activities did you do when you were growing up in Bozeman?
I did a lot of different outdoorsy activities, just like most everyone in Montana. We're here because we love the outdoors. And so I got to do a lot of skiing, biking, running, hiking, everything outside.
And Claire, when did you first start learning about climate change?
I learned about climate change in school. It was a big part of my science classes because climate change happens naturally. When it comes to the ozone layer breaking down, oxygen, that can lead to greenhouse gases happening. And I learned at the same time that humans' actions have been causing this to happen at a more rapid rate, one that our world can't handle. And I started, as soon as I learned about this happening, as a scientific phenomenon and because of human-caused climate change, I noticed patterns like this happening in my own life. So I was able to recognize some of those changes happening to me every day. And as I've learned, it will continue to worsen in the future.
Claire, I understand you were part of a solar energy project while in middle school. Is that true?
That's true. When I was in seventh grade, I spearheaded a project to raise around $125,000 for solar panel energy on my school. Yeah, I learned that my school was going through a remodel, and I wanted to include solar panels on that remodel. And I didn't even know really the environmental impacts of solar panels. Mostly it was a cost thing. I knew that it was a way that we could power our school without having to pay a penny. So I presented my idea to the principal, and that day he drove me to a meeting that he was having with the architects and contractors who were planning my school's remodel. And I went there, and I stood up in front of this room full of adults. It was my first time doing something like that, absolutely terrifying. And I presented my idea that solar panels should be included in part of this remodel. And the response I received was not one I expected. Immediately, everyone in the room just told me it was not feasible. I was heartbroken. I went home, cried a little bit, and I thought about it more. And the reason that they told me it was not a possible thing to do was simply because solar panels are really expensive. And of course, taxpayers' money for public schools really matters. So I figured, well, if cost is the issue, I'll just raise the money myself. And I did. it was really quite a project. A lot of community support went into it.
How much money did you raise, Claire?
$125,000 with the help of a really supportive community.
Did you start a group surrounding this project?
Yeah, I started a solar club of other middle school students to help me out in this initiative. I presented my idea to the school foundation. I wrote grants. I went business to business canvassing the streets, putting out little jars for people to donate money. I spoke at places, and eventually through the help of a lot of people was able to raise the money needed. And not only was I able to raise enough money for solar panel installation on my public school, I also raised enough money for two more schools and a facilities building in my district.
How does it make you feel to know that you had such a gigantic role in making these projects happen, Claire?
Well, it was an honor, first of all, to be able to be supported by my community in such a way and to feel actually heard, that my voice matters as a young person, you know, someone who's not even a teenager yet. And I raised enough money for a 50 kilowatt solar panel system, which is the amount that Montana allows to go into the energy system. So right now in Montana, we have a solar cap, which means that at 50 kilowatts, the energy system that solar panels can provide cannot go into the grid if there's any more than that. So to explain that a little bit, the way that solar panels work is the sun shines on them, and then that energy gets put into an energy bank, and it's called net metering. And so later on a day where it's cloudy or rainy or something, and there's not enough sun to actually power what you would need, then you can buy back that energy. And it's kind of like you sold that energy earlier, so it ends up being still neutral. But Montana has a limit on what that can be. And so as I was doing this project, I received a bunch of information about what, you know, how much money goes into this electricity of my school every month, and it was thousands of dollars. But even with this system, and we were able to save thousands of dollars a month, but even with the system, it's not enough to cover the amount of electricity in my school, which means that while the thousands of dollars that could have been spent on the electricity that goes to these solar panels is now going to education that actually matters, in my opinion, there's still more that needs to be done. And we've had legislation happen in the past, legislation I've canvassed on and spoken on, to try and remove this cap or to make it much larger, but nothing has been successful.
Have you participated in drafting some of that legislation yourself as a high school student?
Yeah, I did have the opportunity to, in high school, help draft some solar legislation. For example, my team and I were able to help write a bill that would put a lottery system on schools around Montana so that the government could help fund solar panel projects on schools that might not have the same amount of access and money that my community was able to give for this, which never even made it out of committee, unfortunately.
Were you just here this morning from Ms. Ann Hedges' testimony?
I was.
Were you surprised at her experience in the legislature regarding renewable energy legislation?
No, I wasn't surprised about a lot of it. In the times that I've testified and spoken on bills, it takes a lot of courage to get a young person talking on legislation and trying to understand the way our government works. It's complicated and can be kind of scary. But to get yourself out there and talk about legislation that matters to you, only to have legislators in your face tell you it's not a good idea or they won't support something that you really, really do, it hurts. It really hurts. I feel like I've done a lot of climate activism in my community when it comes to my solar panel project and the bills I've testified for, but I just don't believe that my government has come with me in the same direction I'm moving. In fact, it feels like it hinders me and my ability to make a change as a young person.
So Claire, you just said you have done some other work in the environmental space. Can you describe what we're seeing here on the monitor?
Yeah, I've had a lot of luck locally to make serious change when it comes to environmental activism and climate solutions. I was appointed by the mayor, the youngest person appointed by the mayor, to be part of the Bozeman climate team. And we helped plan Bozeman sustainability initiatives all the way to 2050. With the goal of becoming carbon net neutral.
What was your role in that committee?
I was on the buildings committee. So we had different sectors, like buildings, transportation, all of that kind of thing. And each of those had experts in my community who knew a lot about what they were doing. So I talked a lot, but mostly I listened a lot. I think there's a lot of really, really inspirational people that know way more than me when it comes to development in a way that works for everybody.
Claire, have you received any awards or recognitions for your work in this space?
Yeah, I've been honored with several awards, including the Gloria Baron Prize for Young Heroes, an international award. The Eco Hero Award, which is also international recognition, as well as some state awards like Ford Montana's 25 Under 25. And later, when I was in high school, I applied for several scholarships to go to college, like the Coca-Cola Scholarship, Burger King Scholarship. And I think it's related to my environmental work, but it's allowed me to go to college.
So Claire, in addition to the work you do in this space, which sounds like a lot, I understand you're also a ski instructor?
Yes, I just finished my sixth season working as a ski instructor at Big Sky Resort.
Do you enjoy that work?
I love it. It's incredible to get outside and help teach kids, especially to appreciate the outdoors as much as I do and to get over their fears. Try something new.
How old were you when you learned to ski?
Oh my gosh. As soon as I could walk, I was skiing.
Did you work at Big Sky this past winter?
I did. Yes. I worked in high school every single weekend at Big Sky Resort, and then now I'm in college every break. So for my winter breaks, it's like 30 days in a row.
How important is skiing to you?
Skiing is a really large part of my identity. I love going outside, and it's an endorphin release. It's an outlet for me. I especially go backcountry skiing with my dad a lot.
Were you here yesterday for the testimony of doctors, or this week actually, for the testimony of doctors running in Dr. Whitlock?
I was.
Has climate change affected your work as a ski instructor?
Yes, a lot. The snowpack is, my job is completely dependent on the snowpack. So, as you can see in this demonstrative, my season was shortened. We had to start later. On days where there isn't enough snow or it's a poor snow year, less people come to visit. And when less people come to visit, I don't have guaranteed work. So I might have to show up to work and not have anyone wanting to take lessons, which means I don't get paid. And the drive from Bozeman to Big Sky is like an hour long on 101 or 191. And it's one of the most dangerous roads in the country. I mean, there's dozens of crosses up and down that road. One time my sister and I were driving it with my mom, and we just started counting how many crosses there are representing people who have passed away driving that road. And it was beyond a number I could count as a young little kid. Absolutely tragic. And now I make that drive often from Bozeman to Big Sky with icy conditions and snowy conditions, and only to sometimes have to turn around without any money at all.
Based on the testimony you heard from doctors running in Whitlock, how are you feeling about the future of your work in this in your recreation in this space?
Watching their testimony put it into more real terms for me. I mean, I can see how the snowpack changes in my life, and I can see that there's bad snow years and people say they're good snow years, but I know it's not comparable to how a good snow year, you know, this year might have been a normal snow year just a couple of years ago. And hearing their testimony and seeing the snow shrinking and shrinking, it just made me feel like that was my livelihood. I mean, my ability to work is too shrinking and shrinking. And it leaves me with a feeling of unsettlement and fear.
Thank you, Claire. And Your Honor, this would be a good time to break if it's okay.
Okay.
Welcome back, Claire.
Thank you.
So when we broke for lunch, we were talking about your work as a ski instructor and your thoughts around climate change's impacts on the snowpack. Did you have anything else to add in that testimony before we move on?
Sure, yeah. We were talking about how skiing is a big part of my identity. And I think of it as part of my identity in two ways, really. Well, first, it's important to me for my job. And just knowing that the actions that my government has been taking lately and in the past is contributing to my job no longer existing is just directly causing the economic harm. And then second, it's a really large part of my identity when it comes to my family. As I mentioned before, I love skiing with my dad and younger sister. And knowing, especially backcountry skiing, it's really important that the snow has stable conditions. We've lost a lot of friends and family to avalanches, And with warming temperatures and inconsistent weather, and these climate patterns has caused the snowpack to be much more variable. And it makes it really dangerous for my dad and sister and I to go out into the snow and go skiing. And now that I'm in college, and since I'm only home during my winter breaks, and I work most of those winter breaks, the days that I do get to go skiing with my family is really limited. And so on a day that I'm free and my parents and sister are free, it almost never lines up. And when it does, we'd like to take advantage of that. But a lot of times we can't because of how inconsistent the snowpack has been in the past few years.
Thank you, Claire. Claire, it sounds like you're a pretty active person. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I think so.
What else do you enjoy doing besides skiing?
Well, in the summer especially, I really, really like to run. I ran on my high school cross country team. I was team captain my senior year, which is pretty awesome.
What was your season and training like for cross country?
Well, it was pretty rigorous. My team, Bozeman High School's running team, was super big. We had like 300 kids, and it was the biggest sports team. And we won nationals even one time. So we're really competitive. And because of that, we train all year round. And our cross-country season is in the late summer and fall. That's when all of the races are, and it's the most important time to be training. But it's also the smokiest time of year. And there's been times when practice has been canceled or pushed inside because of how smoky it is. It's just not healthy to run.
And what are we looking at here on the screen?
This is an email from my cross-country coach telling everyone that because there's so much smoke, we have to cancel practice.
How often would that happen?
It would happen frequently enough that I would text my friends and anytime it was smoky and say, are we running? And the way my coach really measured it was if we could see the Bridger Mountains from my high school, which is a 15-minute drive away. And there were a lot of days where it was canceled.
Besides running, what other outdoor activities do you like to do, Claire?
Well, I love hiking, backpacking, rafting, all the outdoors activities that Montanans love.
Would you say you spend a lot of time doing those activities?
Yes, I do. And I go to Glacier National Park a lot. This photo is of me hiking in Glacier, again, where it's unfortunately really smoky.
And for the record, I'll just note that this photo is marked as Plaintiff's Exhibit P107. Do you remember that hike in Glacier, Claire?
I do, yes. It was quite hot and hard to breathe, and I had gone with some of my friends that were from New York. They came to visit me, and it was their first time coming to Montana, and so I obviously took them to Glacier, one of the most beautiful places in Montana, and it was so smoky, they couldn't see the mountains, and I kept telling them over and over, if only you could see what it actually looks like.
How about in this slide, Claire, what are we looking at here?
This is another picture I took on that same trip, actually, in Polebridge, which is a town near around Glacier National Park.
Have you ever been to Polebridge when you can actually see the mountains?
Yeah, there's 360-degree views of Polebridge, of mountains around Polebridge, and doesn't look like that sometimes. In fact, every single time I've been there, I haven't seen those mountains all the way around because it's always been smoky.
Is Glacier a pretty important place for you?
Yeah, I would say it's my spirit place. I just love the mountains and the natural landscape. Every time I go there, no matter how many times, I'm like, oh my gosh, that mountain is so tall and those trees are so green and it's beautiful, but it's not when the sky is so orange. I mean, you can set the scene, right? It's smoky. The world is burning. I can't go outside unless I want my lungs to feel like they're on fire and my nose to be full of smoke. And that sounds like a dystopian horror film, but it's not a movie, it's real life. I mean, that's what us kids have to deal with. The testimony of Mr. Doyle yesterday particularly really spoke to me. He said that he doesn't remember having smoke in the summer in Montana. And I about fell out of my chair when he said that, because I don't remember a summer that didn't involve smoke. I mean, when I think about summer in Montana, I think about smoke.
Claire, you spend a ton of time moving around outside, apparently. Would you explain to us the significance of your outdoor recreation time to your health and well-being?
Yeah, being outside is really important to me as someone who really values the land and all that it offers. But it means more to me than just recreational pleasure. I was born with a disability, and the doctors told my parents that I was probably not ever going to be ever walk. And so they took me to physical therapy, and I did that all the way through I was 10. And then when I was 10 years old, the insurance company said they could no longer cover the cost of the physical therapy because I hadn't shown enough improvement. And so we stopped going ever since that day. And so now the only form of therapy that I have is going outside and doing these things that I love, like skiing, biking, hiking, running. I mean, the fact that I can run on the cross-country team isn't something I ever thought I would be able to do. And knowing that my government continues to push policies that actively interfere with my ability to do the things that I love and are necessary for my physical growth, so that I don't remain as strong as I was when I was 10 years old, is a feeling like a knife stuck in my gut and twisted. I work hard to be a strong person, and I don't present the fact that I struggle with physical challenges often. But knowing that there's something I can do to protect the landscape and the world that's given so much to me and allowed me to be a strong individual, that's the most important thing.
Claire, how did you spend your summers growing up around your house?
I had an amazing childhood here in Bozeman, and I got to do a lot of outdoors activities. My parents, ever since I was little, taught me to appreciate the land. And we grew up a little bit outside of Bozeman, well, still in the city limits, but right on the edge. And we had a big backyard farm. So my neighbor taught me how to garden when I was little. And my sister and I made a big garden in my backyard. We took our garden to the road by my house and set up a vegetable stand, just like a lemonade stand, but for veggies like cucumbers and radishes and lettuce. And people would drive by and buy our vegetables, and it was amazing. But we didn't live on a very big road, so not that many people came. So we decided to think a little bit bigger, entrepreneurial spirits. And we started selling our vegetables to local restaurants. We carried a giant cooler down there and knocked on the doors of restaurants and offered what we had. And people bought it, but we weren't consistent enough growers, you know, being little kids, to keep up with the restaurant menu. So we went to the farmer's market. We had a farmer's market stand for a long time, several years, and eventually got a client base big enough to have people send in requests of what they wanted, and we would pick it and deliver it to them. And we live right next to a river, so we get to go inner tubing on that river and swimming, and that river, we have the water rights too. So we use that to take care of our plants. And we'd also have a lot of animals. My little sister and I had chickens. We named them after Disney princesses. And eventually we had sheep too. We did 4-H. I won the herdsmanship award one year, one I'm most proud of. And yeah, we had baby lambs, so cute. A lot of times ranchers only want like 2 lambs per ewe, but sometimes they're born as triplets, so we would take the 3rd baby one and raise it as our own, feeding the milk to it and everything every 4 hours. So much work, but it was really, really amazing.
Does your family rely on is the river you referred to running by your house Bozeman Creek?
Yeah, it's Bozeman Creek.
And does your family rely on the water rights there to water the garden and take care of the animals?
Yeah, we have water rights in the creek. So that water we use for our watering our land and vegetables and our animals. And we also have a well, which is right next to the river too. And that is our drinking water.
Have you experienced or noticed any changes in the flow of Bozeman Creek since you've been living there?
Yes, it's been extremely inconsistent. In the spring, it will flood, almost flooding our house. One year we had to stack sandbags all around our house to make sure that the water didn't get in. And that was the first year that we had moved there when I was in kindergarten. And I just remember so much fear. I was sitting on a bench with my little sister where we'd normally sit to watch the river, and the water rushed underneath our feet. And I remember my mom pulling us back and saying, it's too dangerous. But that's the river we played on and swam in. And it was scary to know that it could just sweep us away. And then in the falls, the flow really, really shrinks, and it hasn't dried up ever, but it's gotten to the point where it seems just like a small trickle.
Claire, you've testified about your experiences dealing with kind of the physical impacts from climate change in your environment. Have you also experienced any mental health impacts?
Yeah, I don't have any diagnosed conditions directly because of climate change, but I have to suffer a huge psychological weight because of it. I am constantly reminded that the power to make a difference and to change the world that I'm living in is not in my hands, especially as a young person. I've done a lot for my community when it comes to environmental work, and yet I haven't seen the changes that I believe are necessary by my government to actually protect my rights to a clean and healthful environment. And so I continue to struggle every day with knowing that my elected officials and branches of government who do have the power to make that difference haven't taken the actions necessary, and it's quite a burden to place on young people.
What do you think your future holds, Claire?
Well, I have an idea of what it is to be a successful human being. I want to be happy. I want to surround myself with people that love and care about me. I want to settle down and have a house here in Montana one day. And that idea of what makes a successful person, in my mind, is significantly altered because of what climate change means to me. That is, if I wanted to have a house here, I'd need to think about if it's going to burn up in the flames that haunt us every summer, if it's going to be in the floodplain of a river that continues to grow every spring, if the water I drink will no longer be accessible to me. And when I think about what my community would be, I don't know if I can live in Bozeman or in the other towns in Montana that I know and love because of the uncertainty that they'll even exist in the same way that they do to me now, that they will in the future.
Claire, you've already done so much in your young, your short life to make a difference. Why did you decide to join this lawsuit?
Well, I care a lot about the environment. And I had heard about the lawsuit against the United States government. And I was really inspired by the actions of those kids. And when I had the opportunity to take the stand against the actions of my state government has been, once that, you know, came across my desk, and it ran in the circles of environmental activism that I was in, I jumped at the opportunity. I reached out to our Children's Trust, and I know that they're the best legal representation that us kids could have, considering they're a law firm that specializes in youth climate constitutional cases. And so I had the opportunity to meet some of them, interview, and finally share my story.
How would you feel if you won this lawsuit, Claire?
If I won this lawsuit, I would feel as though I was entitled to a fair and just trial. I would feel like the law applied, the Constitution was applied to the facts, and that our legal system works the way it's supposed to.
Thank you, Claire. I have no further questions.
Thank you.
And Your Honor, at this time, we'd like to move into evidence, plaintiff's exhibits P106 and P107.
No objection.
All right. P106 and 107 are admitted. And thank you, Ms. Lassus. You may jump down.
Thank you, Judge.